Some people are glass half empty types. Others are glass half full. He's glass overflowing. This is the Montreal Forum with Tony Marinaro on TSN 690.
19 minutes past 10 o'clock on TSN 690. In case you're just joining us, earlier this morning, right before 8 o'clock, we got word that the legendary Gordie Howe passed away at the age of 88. And the first hour of the program, or pretty much close to, is going to be dedicated to Gordie Howe. I mean, after all that he did for the game, Mr. Hockey, Liam McGuire, joins us this morning to talk about Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe. Liam, good morning.
Morning, Tony.
The hockey guru, the trivia guru. Liam, there are so many numbers that you can talk to us about Gordie Howe. I don't even know where to start, but we already mentioned that he holds the record, of course, with playing at the age of 52 as the oldest player to ever play in the National Hockey League, the player to have played the most National Hockey League regular season games, 1,767. I'm sure you have so many other stats at your fingertips, but what can you tell us about Gordie Howe?
I would start, Tony, there's one significant stat, historical anecdote or fact about him that really, really defines who he was, or certainly the measure of the man on the ice. He was in the top five in scoring, okay? Not the top 10, the top five for 20 consecutive years, 1949 to 1969.
Wow.
And you think about that for a second. It is insane. That is beyond insane. I don't believe there is a comparable record in sports than that one from an individual point of view. That's durability, consistency, and greatness. And he wasn't just a guy cherry-picking points and not doing anything in the playoffs. In that time, you know, he led the league in scoring six times. He was MVP six times. He won four Stanley Cups. He played in multiple finals. And just a level of greatness that, as far as I'm concerned, is unmatched in sports. And that's where the stats kind of start and stop with Gordie Howe, as far as I'm concerned. The rest of it, the records, the length of time, the games played, and you can get into a number of other. Yeah, I mean, he never scored 50 goals. He never scored a playoff overtime goal. That's where, you know, you get in and you sit down with people, that sit down at their watering hole and get into it about Rocket Richard, Gordie Howe. You know, Rocket Richard was, as the late story often said, was put on the ice to score goals. I mean, when you needed a goal scored in a game, Rocket would get it for you. Gordie would get you 40 every year over the course of the season, get you in the playoffs, maybe win, maybe not, but he was like the Energizer Bunny, just never, ever stopped. And that's just an unmatched level of durability and greatness as far as I'm concerned. It starts and stops with that anecdote right there.
What would be, you know, the best for those who didn't have a chance to see Gordie Howe in terms of complete hockey player? And I know that he's not Gordie Howe, but would Marc Messier probably be the best comparable?
Yeah, that's that would be a great comparison, because you had that level of greatness, ferocity, ferociousness, toughness, absolutely combined with skill and a championship ability, obviously, to lead your team, become a winner and this, that, and everything else. Messier would be a great latter-day comparison. Of course, they're always going to be linked. You know the way I get going, Tony, and I find these things. I mean, Marc Messier is second all-time in games played behind Gordie Howe. As you stated earlier, Gordie at 1767. Marc was 1766. 11 games back of Gordie. And, of course, Mark's number was 11, and the number for in the NHL beside 9 was number 11 for one game. Number 9 was stolen at a road trip in Los Angeles. And Marc Messier's last game ever in the NHL was March 31st, 2004. And whose birthday is March 31st? Gordie Howe. So they're kind of they have their own kind of special statistical anomaly linkage there, if you will. But he would be a great example, Tony, mm-hmm. of a latter day Gordie Howe. No doubt about it.
We're talking Gordie Howe and we're talking stats. And once again, Gordie Howe passed at the age of 88 earlier this morning. You talked about an incredible stat from 1949 to 1969. Top five in scoring for 20 consecutive years. And you said you're not going to find a more impressive record than that anywhere in sport. But in hockey, is there another player that was able to do it for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, just to give me an idea?
Well, sure. I mean, Wayne played 20 seasons, okay?
Okay.
Gordie played 26 in the NHL and another 6 in the WHA. So he had 32 years pro. Wayne's got his own statistical, obviously. I mean, what he did. But, you know, Bernie Federko was the first player in NHL history to record 50 assists or more in 10 consecutive seasons. Well, Wayne blew that right out of the water. He had 100 or more. But Wayne played 20 seasons in the NHL, and he had 15 100-point seasons, Tony. 15 100-point seasons in the 20 years he played. He just didn't do what Gordy did. You know, at the end of the day, he didn't do what Gordy did. Nobody did what Gordy did. So Wayne's got his own statistical horse that he can ride on, obviously, and he would never even want to get there. I mean, you get down when you start talking about the greatest players of all time. It usually centers on whatever area you grew up in. And the older people will say Gordy. The guys maybe in my generation will cite Bobby Orr, and then a little later you get into Gretzky and then Mario Lemieux. And three out of those four guys will say that Gordie Howe was the greatest ever, in their opinion. Bobby Orr and Wayne Gretzky, they will cite Howe as the best ever. So, you know, Wayne would certainly be able to put his name up there with any type of statistic comparing with Gordie Howe. But like I just said, he didn't do what Gordie did at the end of the day. He didn't.
With Liam McGuire, the hockey historian that you are, bring us down. Take us back, actually, to 1971. Gordie Howe retires, takes a couple of years off, and then comes back to play in the WHA. How did that all go about?
Well, that was actually, the movie is pretty accurate, and it was a brainchild of Dennis Murphy and Ben Haskin and these guys who were involved with starting up the WHA in 1972. And Gordy was, you know, when they signed Mark and Marty, who you have to remember that these players, along with the Baby Bulls that were signed, and your Ken Linsmans and Rob Ramages and Rick Vibes and all these guys, are all signed underage. The NHL in those days was a 20-year-old draft, and they were all signed underage. So when they signed Mark and Marty, the conversation started with it just as a promotional. You know, just what about if Gordy came out and played a couple exhibition games or came to training camp or did whatever, you know, and that was the genesis of it. What they didn't expect was that Gordy was taking it dead serious. He showed up in camp in phenomenal shape, and his first day at camp, I think he leveled two guys, and everybody kind of woke up and said, whoa, what's going on here? And Gordy was one of the best guys in camp. This was the second year of the WHA, so 1973-74. He was 45 years of age. He very quickly racked up a couple 100-point seasons there in the WHA. I mean, he was, you know, the WHA was inferior league to the NHL, but it was like sort of a pregnant American Hockey League, if you will. And he was one of the most dominant players at 45, 46 years of age. So it started initially as a publicity, I won't even want to call it a stunt because, you know, it demeans the man. But it started originally as sort of a PR move. And they just very, very quickly realized that he wasn't going to hurt himself. He wasn't going to get hurt. In fact, it was going to be the other way around. He was going to hurt someone. And he went out, and he just absolutely owned the ice.
What about,
he always did in the NHL. It was amazing.
What about that one game with the Detroit Vipers at the age of 70, or it counts as a game if you take a look at his record. What was that all about again?
That was to play in another decade, right? Because he played in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s because he retired from the NHL in 1980.
Yeah.
So they wanted him to play in a sixth decade. So they gave him a 46-second shift in with the Vipers. He actually got credited with a shot on goal because the puck hit him on the ass. And he actually sat on the bench, I think, if I'm not mistaken, for most of the rest of that game. So that was total publicity, and just to go out there and play with the guys. In fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that some of those guys that were in that game are here today where I'm speaking today. I think some of those guys that were the Detroit Vipers, some of their former players are here today where I'm at today.
All right, so the thing you remember most about Gordie Howe is that record 49-69, 20 consecutive seasons, top five in scoring. It's a pretty impressive stat. Liam McGuire, thanks so much for joining us today.
Anytime, Tony. Thank you, buddy.
Hockey guru, hockey trivia man, hockey historian Liam McGuire. It's 1028 Marinero 4, Le Groupe Magritte's Jerry Forberg Project at 4755 Metropolitan, right off of the Met, Jerry and Vio. And if you actually turn left on Pinot and right on Notre Dame, you're in downtown Montreal in less than 15 minutes. Condo living is new living. You have a 14-floor, 132 condo complex, 3.5s, 4.5s, 5.5s, starting at 656 square feet. You've got a majestic lobby. You got a gym that you can use, a room that you can use for your private parties, and a panoramic view of the city, Mount Royal, and the fireworks. High ceilings, fireplace, air conditioning, a check back in the client's name of $10,000. For more information on that, you can call them at 778-7800. Right after the 10:30 update, more on the man, the myth, the legend, Gordie Howe.
Tony Marinaro, the Montreal Forum, TSN 690.
He is the hockey historian for NHL.com, and we picked up the phone and we called him, and under very, very short notice, we appreciate you taking the time. Dave Stubbs, good morning.
Good morning, Tony.
Thanks for doing this, Dave. We picked up the phone. Can you join us? Yeah, now? Okay, good. Fantastic. So, thank you. Have you, you know, the pieces that you do, have you already, had you started collecting some information on Gordie Howe? Or I imagine, have you done some pieces on Gordie in the past? Or if so, when did you start collecting some of this, some information?
Tony, I go back many, many years with Gordie Howe. I go back to when I was a 10-year-old kid in 1967, and Gordie was appearing at an Eaton store at the Fairview Shopping Center for his True line of sticks and skates and so on. The lineup was halfway down the mall. I never got to see him, but my dad was in the market for a new car, and Gordie was going to appear at Fairview Mercury, which no longer exists, on St. John's Road, and they were doing, Gordie was going to be there, and there was going to be a shoot-to-win promotion, and they sort of put one of those shooter-tooters in front of a small hockey net, only instead of having tiny little holes around, they basically had the entire thing open. So the deal was that the father brings his son to the dealership, the kid puts a puck through the big hole in the net and gets some kind of a prize, and his father goes away and thinks, maybe I'll come back and buy my car here. Long story short, Gordie was there that night. I talked my dad into going. I met Gordie. He signed an Eaton's True Line hockey stick for me that night. My dad went back and bought a 1967 Mercury Comet, and about 5 years later backed over it on the driveway and reduced it into a tomato steak.
Wow.
So I told Gordie about that when I saw him last in 2012. He came to Montreal for an autograph show, and he thought it was the funniest thing he'd ever heard, and it was just great. And I have so many wonderful stories about Mr. Hockey. Anytime I go to any of the original six arenas, or certainly arenas of the original six teams, I like to spend time sort of walking around the concourses in the quiet. You can actually hear the buildings breathe. And I guess it would have been in April when I was in Detroit for the Detroit-Tampa Bay series. I was actually in to do a piece with Ted Lindsay, and I just walked around the concourse at Joe Louis and took some pictures of the statue of Gordie there and various photographs around the building. I'm tweeting some of those today, and yeah, it's, you know, when you spend time around these legends, you know the time is coming. And I, you know, wrote a piece that ran on NHL.com. I've tweeted a link to that this morning, an appreciation of Gordie Howe on his 88th birthday, which was just a couple months ago. And we've just sort of sifted through it quickly this morning and just rekindled all these great memories. And like a lot of us, my heart is just broken today. And I hope that every flag in hockey is going to be flying at half staff for Gordie Howe.
So he was your favorite player?
Gordie was certainly one of my favorites. Gordie and Jean Béliveau. Jean Béliveau became he was an icon, obviously, and he, I would have followed Jean Béliveau really on the back nine of his career. I was born in 57, so, you know, as he's nearing the end of his career, I'm 13, 14 years of age, and you know, to have gotten to know these so many of these guys later on. I mean, I adored Ivan Cournoy. Rogie Vachon, no secret, was a big favorite of mine, and I got to know Rogie and spent some time with Gordie at various functions. And in 2007, Gordie appeared at the Bell Center. There was a special evening that was done, the Montreal Canadiens organized. They raised $1 million for children's hospitals in the name of Jean Béliveau, and all the legends of the game came in, anyone who could come in. And as they walked into the Bell Center, you would hear people murmur, saying, oh, there's Bill Gadsby, or there's Alex Delvecchio, or there's so-and-so, there's Johnny Bauer. And then Gordie Howe walked into the building, and you could literally hear the breath just fall out of the Bell Center. People just gasped. But these two guys were wonderful friends off the ice. They really got to know each other. In fact, Gordie got to know Jean Béliveau in Quebec City. Jean was playing with Quebec Aces, and the Red Wings came up to play an exhibition game, and he said, and he told me this, I'd heard stories that this young man, Jean Béliveau, was quite a good young talent, and I was going to see whether I could test him. And Gordy took him into the boards a couple times. I think the second or third time gave him the famous elbow. And Jean picked himself up off the ice, dusted off his pants, and said, thank you, Mr. Howe. Nice to see you. And at that time, Gordy said, I knew that this kid was going to make it. And he laughed many, many years later, saying, I guess I was a pretty good talent scout, wasn't I?
And that's something. Liam McGuire joined me probably about 15 minutes ago and actually made me aware of a stat. And I don't know if you're aware of this one, but listen to this. From 1949 to 1969, Gordie Howe finished top five in scoring. And Liam said, you can take a look at, you know, any team sport. You're not going to find a statistic like that. Isn't that something?
It's incredible. And you know, Gordie, he revolutionized the game in so many ways. And you know what? It wasn't easy to play on some of those Red Wings teams because Jack Adams was not a very popular general manager with his teammates, or with his players, rather. But, you know, Gordy was just one of those guys who reinvented the game. And you will talk to anyone in the game of hockey. I don't care how young they are. I don't care if you're talking about a kid who's coming up now who will be drafted, you know, at the end of this month in Buffalo. I mean, these people know who Gordy Howe is. And, you know, the fact that he's known as Mr. Hockey, that's all you say, Mr. Hockey, and you know who it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's that speaks very much to the influence that he had on the game of hockey and how important he was. He really transcended his own generation, too. I mean, so much of what he did, the style, the way he played, really became a template for many players who tried to emulate him. They could never copy him, of course. They never had that degree of ability, that degree of skill. And you know, that Gordy could play. He could be the silkiest player on the ice, and he could be the guy with the most sandpaper under his fingernails. I mean, he could play any style of game you wanted. And any player who wanted to test Gordy Howe generally only tested him one time. That's all they needed.
The production line, right, with Frank Mahovlich and Alex Delvecchio?
Sid Abel and Ted Lindsay. And Gordy Howe is the production line. Tony, you're dating yourself.
Well, there's the production line. Wasn't there the production line 1, 2, and 3? And that was the production line 3.
Variations. There were variations. I mean, you can actually go back and you can talk about the punchline of the Montreal Canadiens. Joe Benoit originally was the winger where Maurice Richard stepped in, and there actually was a line called the punchline before those guys. So yeah, there have been all different variations of it. But for me, the punchline or the production line will always be Abel and Howe and Lindsay.
Abel, Howe, and Lindsay, the production line 1. I know the line I just talked to you about was the production line 3, and I'm trying to think which one was the production line 2, but I get what you're saying. And the Gordy Howe hat trick, remember that? You know, that we talk about it nowadays.
Gordy had two in his life.
Yeah.
Gordy had two in his life.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
It's incredible. You know, I mean, I think Brendan Shanahan probably has the most. I think he had like 20 something. I don't know off the top of my head, but
is that right?
I think he was the leader. Oh yeah. Yeah. Look up Brendan Shanahan or Google Gordy Howe hat trick. And I think Shanny was the leader in that. And it was kind of funny because of course he went on to become, you know, the director of player safety, right, for the NHL and was the policeman, the disciplinarian. So yeah, Gordy, you know, Gordy never really had to, once people knew his reputation and they knew what he was able to do, they didn't test him. And that was the thing. I mean, someone would come up and they would say, oh, Gordy Howe. And, you know, the great thing was, and some of the original six guys would tell me this, you'd play each other 14 times in a season.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted Lindsay told me this when I sat down with him. He said, a guy could double cross you or could get the stick in your face or something. And he said, you didn't have to get him back the next shift. You didn't have to get him back the next period. You didn't have to get him back that night. You didn't have to get him back that season. You knew you would see him the next season. And when the guy least expected it, 7 games into the season following this incident, you would just drill a guy. And that's the way those guys played hockey. I mean, Lindsay, if you look at him, he's 5'8". He's 165 pounds. He still is playing weight. He's 90 years of age. And his faculty of recall talking about the game and talking about how important it was and how, you know, they played the game for the love of the game, not for the millions of dollars they were going to make. I mean, Gordy was very much the same thing. I mean, he did very well later on with endorsements and bless his late wife, Colleen. I mean, she really kind of took over the business of Howe Enterprises.
Yeah.
And she's the one who really finally made things work for the Howe family. But they were wonderful partners, and you know, I'm sure that Gordy in his own way would have been heartbroken recently when Bill Gadsby passed away, because they were absolutely wonderful friends. And I'm sure Ted Lindsay's heartbroken today. Those guys had a falling out for many, many years, and it was over the fact, I think, that Lindsay was trying to get the Players Association off the ground in the 50s, and Gordy didn't want any part of it originally. So they had a falling out, but I think they sort of mended some fences. But, you know, those guys were, you know, they were brothers in arms. I mean, they went to battle together, and they lived together. I tweeted a picture, actually, of Gordie Howe and Ted Lindsay in Ted's family workshop back in the 1950s, because Gordie actually lived under the roof of Ted Lindsay for a while. So, yeah, it's so many of these guys, Tony, I'm rambling, but, you know, so many of these guys of this generation, we're losing them now, and it's a very, very sad, sad moment. But, you know, we'll give us all time to recall some stories, and there will not be anyone in the game of hockey, as they did with Mr. Béliveau. Anyone who crossed Mr. Béliveau's path, as there's Jean Béliveau stories, well, the same thing applies to Gordie Howe. If anyone ever came in contact with him or shook those first baseman's mitts that he called hands, you know, it was very, very special, and it's something you will never forget.
And you gave us some great stories there. You're in Pittsburgh, correct?
I am indeed. I'm supposed to be jumping on a flight to San Jose from Dallas at some point today. I might have to change that. I don't know, but I was one of the NHL.com crew who actually got a little bit of a later wake-up call today. And I'm kind of glad it did, because I wouldn't have wanted to be in the air when this broke and then arrive in San Jose and suddenly have to scramble. So at least I can assemble some things. And I'm talking with my office, and I'm sure the NHL will have some very special things. And I'm sure there will be a very, very emotional moment of silence and recollection of Gordy before Game 6 in San Jose on Sunday.
Very quickly, quite the performance by Martin Jones last night.
Unreal. Just, you know what, I watched part of that game last night, Tony, from right down in the corner just to his left. And you know what, playoff hockey, you watch any NHL game down low to the ice. You know, we watch them up in the press box, and, you know, you can look and you say, why did the guy do this or that? Well, the speed of the game down low, and especially in playoff hockey. I mean, Jones was just in a different zone last night. And, you know, if it's not for him, they're planning a parade today in Pittsburgh. There were 20,000 fans outside on the street, outside Consol Energy Center last night, and then thousands more up in Market Square. And I'm sure there will be the same kind of passion for an outdoor viewing party in San Jose on Sunday. But, yeah, Jones was just totally off the charts, and it's for that reason. And happily for the Sharks that Logan Couture sort of came out of his slumber a little bit, and same with Brent Burns. Those were big goals. They needed those. So we'll see. We've got a series now. And, hey, only one team in history has ever gone, since the NHL in 1939 went to a best-of-seven series, only one team has been down 3-1 in a series and come back to win it all. It was the 1942 Maple Leafs. No, I did not cover them. And, hey, the Sharks are still alive. I mean, that's why I'll play the games, right?
I'll tell you what you did do, Dave. Tell you what you did do. You were, and for those who are not aware, once upon a time, a wrestling referee. And you're probably wondering why I bring it up. Because I have someone in studio that I'm sure you know very well. Does the name Gino Brito ring a bell?
Gino Brito was the gentleman who put me to work as a referee in Montreal. And I still don't know whether to thank or blame Gino Brito for that. But if you have him in studio, Gino, it's wonderful to make contact with you again this way. You put me to work. I worked a match between the Italian Stallion Paul Roma and Barry Horowitz. And I seem to recall Roma winning with a small package. And for some reason, you said I fit right in, and you kept me as part of the refereeing crew. And I enjoyed every minute of every match that you had me do. So thanks,
Dave,
for that. It was a very...
I'll tell you, you did a good job that night. And that's why, and not only are you a great newspaper man, but everything you undertook, you did it well. And I'm so glad to talk to you, because I was just saying that it's been at least 25 years since we got together, since you had made that story in the Gazette about me. And you keep on going, and I was listening to you talking about hockey, and the passion that you have for sport is a great thing. Thank you.
Well, Gino, listen, my pleasure, and thank you for putting me to work. Because you know what, in those days, as we knew, it was not considered sports entertainment, and it was a leap of faith for you to let a journalist go into the ring and do this, actually do write a match, referee a match, and then write it. And it was great fun to do that, and I respected the business, had a lot of fun with all the guys I got to know over the years, a million stories, and I still love to regale friends with some of the great stories from the days that I worked. So it was fun, and I hope you're well, and I hope we have a chance for our paths to cross again one day soon.
I am well, and I thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, Gino. All the best.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right.
My pleasure, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Dave Stubbs on short notice. It's 10:50 on TSN 690. Our Twitter question of the day is around the corner. For those who missed it or those who didn't hear, Gordie Howe is no longer with us. Passed away earlier this morning, right before 8 o'clock, at the age of 88.